With your permission, the permission of the President.
Well, if you don't have pictures or not, because we have a dinner.
I heard.
Rabbi Gordon is the honoree, so I just came and there with a lot of people too. So I guess David Federbush told me he's coming. So.
Chapter 2, with your permission, Tesla Malachim, sentence 36. Yishlach HaMelech. Thereafter, Shlomo HaMelech became the king, and the Navi is going to tell us how he's going to fulfill his father's will, his father's last statement to him that he should take care of certain things. Already he got rid of Eviatar HaKohen, he sent it back to Anatot, and already he killed Yoav ben Tzruya. Now the last person on the list is Shimi ben Gera. The David HaMelech told him in chapter 2 that he should make sure that he's not going to go to Olam Haba in the wrong way. If you remember, we explained that David HaMelech did not have Chas V'Shalom in his head, revenge that he wants to take. It's just opposite. His last statement was he wants to take care of certain things that people, he might think that they're going to go Chas V'Shalom to the wrong direction in Gan Eden, it means to go to Gehenom. He wants to save them. And therefore he told Shlomo, I want you to take care of this guy Shimi, and Shimi did something bad to me, and of course he is not innocent in Dinei Shamayim and Shamayim, and therefore you be very smart, and Tish Chachamata, he says you're very smart, make sure you know what you do to him. So again, the last thing what David HaMelech said, he told Shlomo, you're very, very smart. Since you're very smart, you know what to do to this guy Shimi, that he deserves that. Again, it's for his own benefit, not Chas V'Shalom that David wants to take revenge. If you remember, we said, this is just for his own benefit, you know what to do to him. Again, now we're going to see how smart Shlomo HaMelech is, that his father told him specifically, in this case of Shimi ben Gera, you're very smart. Let's see the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech that he's going to take care of this guy. So with your permission, as we said, is Melachim out of chapter 2, sentence 36, Vayishlach HaMelech, Vayikra LeShimi. Shlomo HaMelech sent the messenger, is calling up Shimi. By the way, if you remember that Shimi was Shlomo HaMelech's rabbi. So he calls him, doesn't have any respect, sounds like he doesn't have any respect for him. Vayimei lo, he tells him, Bnei Lecha Vayit Yerushalayim. I want you to build yourself a house in Yerushalayim. Yashavtasham. You'll dwell in Yerushalayim, you live in Yerushalayim. Belo tetzei misham anavana. I want you to build yourself a building over there, you can't go outside. Vaya biyom tetcha, in the day that you're going to go out of Yerushalayim, ve'avata et nachal Kidron, you're going to pass the river called Kidron. This is right down if you come out of the Kotel and you go out of the gate, right down there it's called Nachal Kidron. It says Nachal Kidron, this is the water. Yadoa tizak yimot tamut. The minute that you're going to leave Yerushalayim and you pass that river, you're going to die. Damcha yeh beroshecha. That's what it is. It says, I'm warning you. It says, it doesn't tell him anything. I don't know if Shimi understood. The guy calls him up and says, listen, stay over here, build yourself a villa in Yerushalayim, a nice house in Yerushalayim, don't move. The minute you move out of Yerushalayim, you're going to die. Why? Shimi doesn't ask him and he doesn't explain anything to him. That's an order, it's a command from the king, you may not leave Yerushalayim, you have to be in Yerushalayim. Again, this is something that Shlomo is using as something that he's going to fulfill his father's will, his father's last statement to take care of Shimi, is going to kill Shimi. He's not going to kill Shimi because he wants to take revenge, because it's good for the benefit of Shimi that he's going to be dead by Shlomo and not on his bed, because like this is going to have Olam Haba. So what is the smart move, what is this wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech? It says, build yourself a house, live in Yerushalayim. Also, if you live in Yerushalayim, you're going to die. אם השמי למלך טוב הדבר שדיבר, אני המלך תן לי יעשה עבדך בישב שמי בירושלים ימים רבים. And it's about 3 years he was living in Yerushalayim. Again, this is what the Melech told Shlomo, make sure you're very smart that you get rid of this guy. So Shlomo Melech chose to that's how he's going to take care of it. He's going to tell him, you live in Yerushalayim, do not come out. Who would go out? Nobody would have gone out. If the king tells you, don't leave Yerushalayim, the minute you leave Yerushalayim, you come back, you're a dead man. Why should Shlomo HaMelech think from Botai that he's going to go out of Yerushalayim? He wouldn't go to you out of Yerushalayim. Why should he go out of Yerushalayim? He knows that he's going to jeopardize his life. He's going to put his life in danger. So the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, he writes in his book, he said that, you know, a person, if you tell a person, don't go out, he will not be able to stay. This is the nature of a person. The nature of a person, if you tell the person you must stay over here, it says don't move from that place, it doesn't matter, it can be Atlantic City, it can be in Boca Raton. I didn't mean you should go to Boca Raton.
He told me he's coming. He is the man of his word.
Not from today.
So that's Chacham, his name was,
he says that Shlomo HaMelech with his wisdom knew that if he's going to tell him don't move from here, he's going to have to move. Of course it might be true, but of course we're going to see it's not true. It's not true. I mean, he didn't move because he couldn't move, because we see why he moves. But again, this was the wisdom of Shlomo, that Shlomo goes and he tells this guy, do not move out of Yerushalayim. The minute you move out of Yerushalayim, you're going to die. This is how he's going to fulfill his father's last will to kill Shimi. And the question is, how does he know that Shimi is going to move? He's not going to move. That's true. Chapter 2, sentence 39.
804.
So this is the story that we have to understand what is really behind it. Also, that David HaMelech wants very much to take care of this guy Shimi. Again, according to the Midrash, we explained once that he doesn't want Yivchas Shalom to lose Olam Haba. But see another explanation from Aryeh in a minute. But this is what Shlomo HaMelech tells Shimi. You may not leave. You cannot leave Yerushalayim. The minute you leave Yerushalayim, you're going to die. Ladies and Shimi Yerushalayim in Rabbim, sentence 38, Shimi built himself a house in Yerushalayim, is in Yerushalayim. The question is why Yerushalayim? Maybe it's next to Shlomo, that's what it means, I don't know.
Where was he living before?
But he lives in a place called Bachurim, I think. That's not easy, he's living in Bachurim. Not too far from Yerushalayim. A little town. But we'll get it in a minute. But anyway, Shlomo HaMelech locks him up in Yerushalayim. And the question is, why locks him up in Yerushalayim? If the whole trick is that a person cannot stay in one spot, what we call wonder Jew, first they live on the east side, then they live in the Bronx, then they go to Brooklyn, from Brooklyn they go to Englewood, then they go to Monty, from Monty they go already to
Boca
Raton. So if that's the case, Shlomo does not have to tell Shimi that he has to live in Yerushalayim. I don't believe Shlomo had a special police in Yerushalayim. It says if you that's what you believe, that according to that Rosh Hashiva, that the person, if he's going to be ordered that he must stay in one spot, he will try all the things to do just not to stay in one spot. He doesn't have to live in Yerushalayim. Don't live in Yerushalayim. You don't live in Yerushalayim, you can live wherever you live, and don't come out of your house. It's called house arrest. Can't leave your house.
Don't you ever have a house tell me that you have to live with your rabbi lives, but it was his rabbi.
Yeah.
They wanted to be in the same city
as Egypt. Over here it's going to be just the opposite. That's the whole tragedy. The Gemara says, from here you see that he must be your rabbi is, what it means is you have to try to be next to your rabbi in order to follow your rabbi's instructions, and he's not going to do it, he's going to kill him. So this is just the opposite. So again, we want to know how smart Shlomo was, how do you know for sure that this guy Shimei will not be able to stand in Yerushalayim. He won't be able to stay in Yerushalayim. He will have to leave Yerushalayim. It's not really true, because you see the story in a minute, that he didn't just go on vacation and he had to go outside, he went to gym or to a wedding. This is a good excuse he had to leave Yerushalayim. But Shlomo HaMelech knew that at the end he's going to leave Yerushalayim. The question is, how did he know? If this is what your father wanted from you, that you're going to kill him with a good reason, says, how did you know that that's going to happen? He's going to leave Yerushalayim. The other question is, you don't have to do it in that smart way. If the Melech wanted Shimei to die, you can tell Shlomo the way Shlomo killed Yoav, the way Shlomo sent away Abiathar. Shlomo is going to call Shimei and he's going to tell him, listen, you deserve death. My father told me before he died that you deserve death. He promised not to kill you, but I am not in those promises. Let's end of it, kill him. But you don't have to do a trick. You don't have to do a trick. David HaMelech is telling Shlomo, "Vatilat chokhmatecha, do something very smart if you want to get rid of him." He doesn't do anything smart. As long as that man deserves death, you kill him. He just says, "Can you leave him will?" He doesn't. The whole thing is a trick of him. It's not something that really has to be like you listen to the king. Nothing. He told him, "Not Dorat Yerushalayim." Of course, it doesn't make sense. Why shouldn't I go to Jerusalem? It means just a trick to catch Shimei. So what's the sense? Don't say anything. Say, Shimei, you deserve death. Come over here, I hang you. Instead, he tells him, come over here, then Jerusalem. Meet you in Jerusalem, you die. So again, the question is, how does Shlomo know that he's going to leave? And secondly, why do you need the whole thing? You don't need the whole story. So if you want to kill him, kill him. Like, don't tell him leaving Jerusalem. What's the idea of it? So this 39 with the permission of the Imikos Shalosh and Imay Vulchush now the Mishmi Yafish Benem Me'acham Me'agat. So 3 years passed and 2 slaves that Shimei had ran away. They ran to the Plishtim. They did to Shimei Limor in Yav Adecha Begat. Some informers came and they told Shimei, you 2 slaves that ran away, they are in Gat. Gat is next to Ashkelon in that area, Gaza. Plishtim. Right. So a little bit far from Yerushalayim.
Why
is
to go and get the
Vadim Kulka? I don't know. We'll get to it in a minute. Vayakom Shimei Chamorok. Shimei by himself went and he prepared his own donkey. And he prepares the donkey. Vayelech Gata El Achish. He's going to Gat to the king. Levakesh et Avadav to look for his slaves. Vayelech Shimei Vayelech Avadav Yigat. He goes over there. He gets 2 slaves. And he's coming back to Yerushalayim with 2 slaves. Again, you have to understand, the man, Shimei, was the genius that David HaMelech chose him to be Shlomo's Rebbe. He was not somebody, a simple person. At a very high position. And he knows, he didn't forget, he knows that the minute he's going to leave Yerushalayim, he's going to die. So I said, what does he think? With all the respect, okay, 2 slaves went. Okay, I understand. 2 slaves ran away. And they went to God. I'm sorry?
He said somebody.
That's not the issue. He could, he couldn't. Doesn't matter if he couldn't. Let's say he doesn't have anybody by the way. But again, you don't put yourself in danger. You know what? Shlomo is a wild king. He already killed Adonia. He already killed Yoav. He's 12 years old. He is hot-blooded. And that man really is not responsible. And he warned you he's going to kill you. So what if somebody, if the 2 slaves, does it pay to risk your life for 2 slaves? From this you see that's not really the reason that Shlomo HaMelech locked him up. Because Shlomo HaMelech did not know that the 2 slaves were around and Shimei is going to go out to get them. I said, if Shimei would have gotten out of Yerushalayim, the way the Rosh Shiva said, that he can't, he's choking. He says, he must have fresh air. He can be on one spot. What do you? That's the Rosh Hashanah is right. But here it says in a different, complete story. The Shlomo Melech did not know the Ruach HaKodesh that Shimi is going to go to God to get the slaves. He didn't know the slaves were going to run, and he didn't know that Shimi is going to go look after the slaves. He locked him up in Yerushalayim and said, don't leave Yerushalayim. Happened to me that story. Shlomo Melech did not know the story is going to happen. And the question is about Shimi. Shimi is a very smart man. Shimi is not going to put his life in danger. You don't risk your life because you have two slaves. Doesn't matter what it is. Even if it were billions of dollars, you don't risk your life. You know you're going to be dead. What do you think? Nobody would tell Shlomo. Shimi is a very smart person. It's hard to believe that Shimi is going to do such a thing. And without responsibility. So, Sentence 41, Vezayu Shlomo ki alach Shimi Mirushalayim gata Yoshov. Somebody informed Shlomo that Shimi left and he came back. Vayishlach HaMelech Yikar Lishmi. He sent somebody called Shimi. Vayimu Elav Alayish Batikha Bashir. I made you swear, even though he doesn't say, I have him say before that he made you swear, but apparently that's what he did. Vayel Bacha Lemor, I told you and I warned you. Biyom Tetcha, by the day that you leave Yerushalayim, Alachta Ana V'Ana, Ani V'Ana, here and there, Yadot HaKimot Amut, I told you. The minute you leave, you're going to die. But you told me, very good. Why didn't you keep the promise? I told you not to go. Why did you go? Shimi doesn't even answer. Doesn't answer. They ask you a question, why don't you answer? He doesn't answer. The Shimi just said, listen, I know, but Chachamim said, well, this is not exactly what he meant. Shimi told him not to go behind that river, but over here I went in a different direction. Maybe he did not cross the river, he went another way. And again, he went to bring his slave. He should try to plead, to plea bargain with him, to ask him, or to say, I'm sorry, nothing. He doesn't even answer. Shlomo talks to him, he doesn't answer. All of a sudden, Shlomo tells him, listen, you know also, remember what you did to my father. Remember, what did he do to my father? He just, he made fun of him. He cursed him, if you remember. He said bad things about him. Remember it. But it has to do with anything. Why did he didn't tell him in the beginning? Why are you telling him now? Don't tell him nothing. He said, excuse me, I told you, I'm the king. I told you, don't leave this place. You left this place, you deserve that. All of a sudden, he gives him a lecture. He says, you remember what the bad things used to do to me? He used to my father. But this has to do with anything. The yeshiva, Shemet Ratcha, Roshecha, Shachimuchu is going to pay you back thing you had. I says, what this has to do with anything? He didn't tell me the beginning, the reason I have to be in Yerushalayim, because it's something better to your father. He told me, stay in Yerushalayim. I didn't ask you why. I stay in Yerushalayim. Now he said, why did you leave? I don't answer you. He says, by the way, you know the betting, but who asked you this? The Shiva Hashem is Ratcha V'Roshecha. He was going to pay you the bad thing in your head. He says, you're going to suffer. He says, you're going to suffer. He says, why am I going to suffer? המלך שלמה ברוך וחסד דוד נהיה נכון לפני השם עד עולם. It says, he himself is talking. And he's blessing himself. 12 years old man, talking to a rabbi, his own rabbi, an older person, he's not permission how old he was, but an older person, elderly person, older than him, he tells him, you bad, I was going to pay you back in your head. But המלך שלמה refers to himself, ברוך, I'm okay, I'm 100%. וחסד דוד נהיה נכון לפני השם עד עולם. The chair of David is going to be forever and for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What does this have to do with anything? So the Tehillah Shachanei Shni is because Shimi was against David HaMelech. This is page 04. So Shimi was against David HaMelech. Maybe Shlomo HaMelech is giving him a lecture. He doesn't care less. He doesn't care less what Shlomo tells him. That Shlomo is blessed and the chair of David is going to be forever. He doesn't care that. Why is saying it one of these days? Why think it?
This is a tough punishment, anyhow. It's a tough punishment.
He warned him before. The question is, he warned him before.
It's a punishment that the sin doesn't.
Yes.
Not such a big sin that he has to die.
Well. If you curse the king and you make fun of the king, you deserve death. Again, David HaMelech promised him not to do it. He's not going to do it to him. Now he tells Shlomo to do it. Again, I don't understand why Shlomo is blessing himself and he's telling him, Hashem is going to pay you back in your head. הייתה מלך את בני אהב בני יהודה והייתה לברגם ובימוד במלאכה נכון לישלמה. So David, Shlomo Melech ordered the Avon Yehudah, this is the chief of staff, and he's a Kohen, and he says, go and kill him. Kill him. Amlacha nachola biyar Shlomo. What it means, civil explanation, it means, Chachamim say, what it means, Rashi says, Ar-Midrash says, it means he did the right thing, if we may say he did the right thing. It means he's now going to be punished by killing Yoav and by killing Shimei. It's an explanation. Yeah.
Why did he again have the
Kohanim
kill him?
I don't know. I really don't know why he chose this God. I mean,
it's the Kohanim that
he's allowed to kill. Right. If you remember, we spoke about this. I mean, say he just stuck his sword, but he just left the sword inside. He didn't pull it out, and he's not going to be tamei because then he's still alive when he killed it. Chapter 3, we give permission by Chaten Shlomo et Paro Melech Mitzrayim. So says the Gemara, this is the continuation of the story before. The minute that he killed this rabbi, that used to be his own rabbi, he decided he's going to look for a shidduch, and he got married by Yitzchak et Bat Paro v'Sheshikset. The Gemara has a whole debate about it. If he converted her, the Rambam says he converted her, so she's how he converted her. Who converted her? Why is he going to convert her? The Gemara says he should not, the people did not convert it out of the Shlomo. And the question is, if he did a sin, did not do a sin, it's a big machloket among the Chachamim and the Gemara. Even though that you cannot marry what's called Mitzrit Rishona. The Gemara says,
third generation?
First generation, yes. Only third generation in Latin America. It's like this. Is that if an Egyptian girl wants to convert, not in our time. In our time, already some Chirid mixed the whole world. They don't know who is Egyptian, who is not. The people that live in Egypt today, they call themselves Egyptians, but they're not the original Egyptians.
No, they're Arabs.
Right.
They came from Arabia.
San Chirid did it. But before San Chirid did it, you weren't allowed to marry a convert Egyptian girl. You can't. And an Egyptian girl that wants to convert, she has to marry another convert. Now the child that is going to have also is not allowed to marry a Jew. Also is going to have to marry a convert. Third generation also, fourth generation, machloke. Fourth generation only can marry a Jew.
Only a girl, not a boy. Only a girl?
No, I mean also. The Gemara says how bad it is, the Gemara says. That we have some Gedaliah. Gedaliah was killed by a person, his name was Ishmael ben Matanya. By Ishmael. That guy Ishmael was a 13th generation convert from Egyptian. And the Gemara says still bad. 13th generation Egyptians still goy, still bad. The Gemara said the people went to Gedaliah and told him this guy is bad news. This guy Ishmael is a bad news. His name is Ishmael after his old grandfather Ishmael. Gedaliah ben Achikam. Gedaliah ben Achikam. The thing is Ishmael ben Matanya. So Ishmael planned. He said he speaks bad things about Gedaliah. He's going to kill Gedaliah. People came and told Gedaliah, this guy is going to kill you. So Gedaliah said, he's a Jew. What are you talking about? He's not going to kill me. I said, if he would have suspected, he was the head of the Jews at the time after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, the Tamidosh. And if he would be a little bit more suspicious about him, he wouldn't be killed. The Gemara says that guy Ishmael, he was 13 generations Egyptian. He still had in his blood the Egyptian mentality of killing. The Torah says that if you want to marry an Egyptian, you have to wait 3 generations at least. So Shlomo Melech is going to marry right now the daughter of Paro. That's called Mitzrit Rishona. This is first generation Egyptian. So some Chachamim said this was just by itself, doesn't matter, converted, not converted. This is a sin by itself. It's a love in the Torah. It says not the law, it says that you cannot marry an Egyptian convert. There have to be three generations that the convert should marry another convert, the child should marry another convert, and then the third or the fourth generation only allowed to be married into the Jews. And Shlomo here goes and he marries the daughter of Paro.
This is
Midrash, yeah. It's
going to
take a minute. Yeah.
The people who left with Moshe Rabbeinu from Egypt, they were all Egyptians.
Right.
There were a million of them.
Right.
So this
2.4, 3.6. They weren't allowed to marry. Right. So now the Gemara says like this.
They knew them.
They weren't, you see, they converted. They converted at Har Sinai.
Yeah.
They did not stay in the camp with Am Yisrael. They were not under the cloud. They crossed the Jordan River with Yoshua Bin Nun, millions of them. Either 2.4 or 3.6 million Egyptians left with Moshe Rabbeinu. They came to Israel. They got no properties. They had no jobs. They just dwell around on Israel, in the cities, in the fields, with their own tents. Nobody intermarried with them. Later, third generation, fourth generation, got intermarried on Israel.
Well,
no, I don't mean mommy. As you do a call. That time they knew. Only after Sancheriv came, in the time of Chizkiyahu, then he mixed the whole world, then we don't know who is really an Egyptian person, because it can be anybody that lives in Egypt, but he's not an Egyptian. But in the time of Shlomo, they knew who is Egyptian, and Shlomo went and married a daughter of Paro, that's called Mitzrit Rishona, first Egyptian convert, if he converted them right. It's also a big machloket about it. The Rambam said he converted them, but again, some Chachamim said, well, this conversion is worthless, because the Navi himself says that the end of Shlomo HaMelech, and he wasn't old, but you know, he died at age 52, that's all when he died, he was 52. But it means he had no control, and they did all of the wives that he had in Avodah Zarah, all his wives.
Now, can you talk for a bit about
Sancheriv?
Would he change the...
Sancheriv was the biggest king ever in the world. This was the time of Chizkiyahu. Nebuchadnezzar used to be a servant in his palace. Sancheriv used to live in Iraq. He was the first Adam Hussein, before Nebuchadnezzar. The name of the city is called Ashur. It is next to Kurdistan. And he was very powerful, very powerful. He had millions of soldiers, only 185,000 officers. And he was so powerful, says the Gemara, what he did. He wanted to make sure he was going to rule forever. So, I spoke about this before. Then he went and he took the whole world and mixed all the whole world. He took, for example, all the Egyptians, he moved them to Asia. All the people from Asia, he moved to Jordan. From Jordan to Australia. Every country he moved, but the whole country. He didn't leave one person on his... Land. All of them. Land from Yosef. Land from Yosef. He said, like this, they can't rebel. Because if you're not in your own country, you don't care about the country. And you don't have any roots anymore in the country. So you lost. So he mixed the Gemara and says, you don't know who is Ammon, you don't know who is Moab, you don't know who is Egyptian, who is nothing. You don't know any nation. Since Sancheriv. The Gemara says, all these halachot, don't intermarry with Egyptians, don't intermarry with Moab, don't intermarry with Ammon. He says, doesn't matter, you go over there, he says, who lives in Egypt? Not Egyptians. Who? You don't know. Arabs, people from all over the world, he moved everybody. He was so powerful that he took the 10 tribes, and he threw the 10 tribes behind the Sambatan River, and that we can't find them anymore because of him. That's how powerful he was.
Well, he's the one that did that?
He is
the
one. Sancheriv did it. But he knew how powerful Am Yisrael was. The next move would be just to destroy Binyamin and Yehuda, this is Chizkiyahu HaMelech. But in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Eretz Israel was deserted. Besides Be'er Sheva and Yerushalayim and Hebron and a few other cities, the whole Israel was empty. Now that Chacham, Yimach Shimo Sancheriv, he didn't want the land to be empty. He was afraid that the Jews from Binyamin and Yehuda would come and take back, even though the 10 tribes will never be able to come back. He brought Kutim from next to Greece. This is an island. An island is called Kittim. What do you call it?
Kittim.
In English it's called Kittim? very big island next to Greece, with sheep. He brought people from there and he scattered them all over Israel. Hashem was very upset because those people came to the land and they did all these things to Abu Dazara, and all of a sudden lions used to come and eat them on the streets. And the Nabi says that, we're going to get it later. And the Nabi says that they saw the lions, and they saw that the lions really are sent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they all decided to convert. Kitim. The Gemara says Kutim Gerer, the Gemara says it was not a real conversion, because they converted because they were scared of the lion. And if you're scared of lions and you convert because of that, it's not called a real conversion. But here Shlomo HaMelech goes and he marries a girl, as the Gemara says, the Rambam says that they converted them. So all machloket the Gemara back and forth. The Rambam finally says, he converted them. He says, yes, but what happened? He says, at the end of the life of Shlomo, all of a sudden all of them do Avodah Zarah. So all the Rambam say, well, it's not a real conversion. The same thing the Rambam says about Shimshon. Did he convert the wives that he married? That he also married non-Jewish ladies? So of course the Rambam says, yes, he converted them. That's the Midrash, that he converted them. But again, they did not behave as a convert. So the Yishlom Melech is getting married to a lady, and not only there is conversion, was no conversion, so the Rambam says, the Gemara says, who cares about the conversion? It's called Mitzrit Rishonah. It's called the first Egyptian convert. You're not allowed, a Jew is not allowed to marry first Egyptian convert. Even 13th generation of conversion of Egyptian is no good. The proof is from this guy Ishmael that killed Gedaliah. Anyway, the Gemara says that Shlomo Melech is marrying that girl, and partially the Gemara says, the main thing the Gemara says, is marrying her because he killed his rabbi. So the Gemara, that he already had his eye on her before. But since his rabbi was alive, Shimi was in Yerushalayim, next to him, he did not dare to go marry her. Now that we learn that he killed his rabbi, Shimi was his rabbi, this is the Gemara, therefore the next chapter is, where Yitzchak Shlomo at home in Mitzrayim, is marrying Pharaoh's daughter.
How old was
Yitzchak? He's 12.
What is this one?
Over here. Over here at the wedding, he's 16. 16? Yeah.
So 40
years, yeah. 16, yeah.
Oh,
21, 21, 21, 21,
21, 21.
I don't know how
old she
was.
He was married before too.
No.
Is it the first wife that
the first had? Wife, right.
Shlomo got the first wife was the daughter of Pharaoh?
Right. 16 years old. 16, yeah. But already when he before, when he was less than 16 already, he put his eye on her and he wants to marry her.
Already? This is the first marriage?
It's the first marriage, and this is a disaster. This he finished. He finished his kingdom. He finished everything.
The whole thing.
In a minute, you hear. Vayikach et bat Paro, he took the daughter of Paro, Rabbi Yair David, at halotzo, lebnot et beto mebet Hashem, et chomat Yerushalayim tzavim. So what he did is like this. The Gemara says like this.
4 years.
Huh?
For 4 years, he had
a Jerusalem. It means like this. The Gemara says like this, that he did not start Bet HaMikdash yet. He didn't start, and before starting Beit HaMikdash, before he already got married to her. He didn't build her the house yet. So we can learn later what a palace he built her. So that he mashiach there. But in the meantime, he's having a wedding with her. He got married to her before Beit HaMikdash. How bad it was, the Gemara says, that Yerovam ben Nevat, that he's going to be the king on 10 tribes, he was very, very holy man, very mitzvah. And after he got married to her, one time he came to pray next to him. The Gemara says, halacha is that when you pray with your rabbi, you should not take off the tefillin in front of your rabbi. This is kind of embarrassing, like you're getting undressed. It's like you're taking off your clothing in front of your rabbi. When you come to the Tekmet, Rabbi Golden is here, when you won't take your tefillin, you go in the back. That's halacha. You don't untie the tefillin in front of the rabbi. Because that it means, Teira Chavush Alecha, David says when you have tefillin, it's like you have the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on you, and when you take it off, it means like you take off the glory, it means you undress. The Gemara said, it's not polite to undress in front of your rabbi, It's not polite to take it free in front of the rabbi.
So why you not the rabbi taking one of his stone and whatever to you?
Oh, yeah, that's okay. No, 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 he is allowed to take his, yeah, but he's not taking his.
Is it the same that he...
No, 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 because this is disrespectful.
After he took it, can we take it?
Not in front of him.
Yeah,
yeah.
So even if
he
took his.
Right, right. 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 You tell the rabbi, look at the back. Turn around.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says that Yehovam ben Nevat, Yehovam ben Nevat, when Shlomo got married to this girl, he went to Shlomo, he says, how are you? He took a tefillin off. So Shlomo says, catch him, catch him. He says, you catch me? Shame on you. Shame on you, as the king of Am Israel. You married the daughter of Pharaoh before you started being a Amigdal. Shame on you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved Yerobam for this thing that he said, that he resisted Shlomo HaMelech, that he just wasn't afraid of him. In public, he told him. And then Yerobam would have to run away because Shlomo is going to chase him with the soldiers. Let's try to kill him. And he's going to run away. He's going to be in Egypt. And he's going to stay in Egypt until Shlomo will die. And then he's going to come back. He's going to be the new king of Am Israel. So the Gemara says that this is not only that. So the Gemara says in one version that he just married her when he started to build. The Gemara told him a whole discussion. So the Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu told him Yahu Navi a statement. From the first moment that they build Yerushalayim, it means he refers to Shlomo, I hate the whole thing. Because Shlomo married a girl. So again, the Chachamim said, no, this story over here that he married her is not before building, this is after he started to build it. How bad it was, the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, that Shlomo HaMelech was in Gan Eden, and Chachamim was sitting in the Beit HaKnesset one day, and learning.
Huh?
Did he get out? The bench. Right. And Chachamim said, you're going to put in the Neshama of Shlomo from Gan Eden, put him in Gehenom. And while they're debating to do it, not to do it, all of a sudden the bench they were sitting fell down and broke. And he said, it's a sign that his father doesn't want us to do such a thing. That's how bad was this ex that he's married this girl. Of course, now he explained why he's marrying her for a special reason. But anyway, the Gemara says bad things, bad news about it. Says the Gemara, the minute that the Gemara in two places, the minute that he married her, the Satan went, Malach Gabriel, then Satan, Malach Gabriel, went and picked up Rome. If you want to know why the Pope doesn't feel well, he says, blame Shlomo's wedding. Because if Shlomo would not have gotten married to this girl, would not be Rome, and the Pope would not be there, he would be in Poland. The reason why he is in Rome, that's because Shlomo married this girl. Shlomo married the girl, Hashem was so upset with that marriage that he sent an angel from upstairs. He told him, now is the time for Rome. Picked up Rome, and Rome was not built yet. It's going to be built soon. But he means right now it's like a half an island, and you have Italy on the map before Italy was not on the map. Italy was inside the Mediterranean. Now Italy was picked up. And now, this is what Shlomo's disaster was, that he married this girl. And Hashem is so upset, and he tells him, yeah, it's sitting in Yahu. And Hashem said, I hate this guy that built Yerushalayim from the first moment I hate the city. And that's because Shlomo HaMelech, while he was building the city, he got married to this non-Jewish girl. If it is conversion, not conversion, it's irrelevant. The Gemara said, blame Shlomo for this.
Well, there's another question. If you're talking about he married, you mean he actually married her, or you mean
he married her?
Who would marry him if she didn't convert?
A convert Egyptian should marry another convert.
Who would do the ceremony?
Who made the ceremony? Which rabbi you mean?
Yeah.
Himself probably.
He made it himself.
Yeah. Like the conversion.
He didn't bother. Like Napoleon.
Grandmother was a convert.
That's really the root of it. Mm-hmm. That's the whole root of it. We'll get to it in a minute. So the second... No. Or there's something else. Today is not still sleeping. I didn't say anything. Ah, so you hear what that is. I'm here, but... So again, so the Gemara says the destruction of Second Beit HaMikdash is Shlomo, since Shlomo married this girl. The Satan, Gabriel, acting as Satan, picking up Rome from the ground. And eventually Rome is going to destroy Second Beit HaMikdash is because of this wedding. First Beit HaMikdash also is going to be blamed on this wedding. Huh? Why? The Gemara says the night of the wedding, he opened Beit HaMikdash,
right?
Right. He went and cheated him with the witch.
What?
The witch.
Yeah.
The witch. She painted the ceiling. She made the dome. She made the dome. In the kippah, we talk about Hadoshina. In the bedroom, she made the dome. She painted the dome dark blue with stars.
And the moon.
And in Shlomo HaMelech is going to wake up in the middle of the in the morning. He opened up his eyes, it's still dark outside. Or 10 o'clock in the morning, all of them are waiting outside to sacrifice the Beit HaMikdash, the first day of Beit HaMikdash, and he's sleeping, and nobody is allowed to wake him up because he's the king.
And he has the key.
He got the key under his pillow. And his mother came, but she banged on the door, and then she slapped him too. She gave him a slap. Yeah. And Hashem said, First Beit HaMikdash is not going to be destroyed because of this wedding, as well as Second Beit HaMikdash. First Beit HaMikdash is going because he married this girl, and they missed the first day of the sacrifice of Beit HaMikdash because of this wedding, and that wedding also caused Gabriel the Satan to pick up Rome from the ground, and means the destruction of Beit HaMikdash completely because of this wedding. It means the death of Shlomo, the death of all this book that he's going to learn Am Lachim, is because of that wedding. I said that wedding was because Shlomo killed his rabbi. If we not have killed Shimi, then Shimi would be alive, he would not dare to marry her. The Gemara says he married her because he killed his rabbi.
Avladim? Rabbi, there's no relationship between the Shemi and Mordechai, is there?
Yeah, there is, of course.
It's his
grandfather.
Of course. They said that the children of Esau, big one.
He killed Shimi because that was what he said. He told him, don't leave Yerushalayim, he left Yerushalayim. Because Shimi had two slaves run away to Gath, to Achish. And when he came back, from Shlomo told him, I told you don't leave Yerushalayim. I told you, I warned you, if you leave Yerushalayim, you're going to die. He killed him. Believe it? Really, what's behind it? And Shimi was a very smart man. Shimi knew he was going to die. Why is he going? What's so important about the two slaves that ran away? Now the Navi says they ran away to Achish, Melech Gat. What do you have to know this? David got lost. Who went to him?
What?
David did not run to him, David got lost to him. Absalom. Absalom. This guy is Absalom's brother, Achish. Absalom was also the son of Maacha. This is Achish ben Maacha. Now this is like this. What's really behind it? So the Gemara says, in Masechet Sanhedrin, Gemara says, you know, you have, B'ezrat Hashem, Mashiach will come, you have two Mashiach. One is called Mashiach ben Yosef, one is called Mashiach ben David. And Mashiach ben David has to be in Yerushalayim. Mashiach ben Yosef has to be outside Yerushalayim. I don't remember, somebody told me the word Mashiach ben Yosef is an American value is America.
Gematria is America?
Gematria, yeah.
That somebody told me.
That is the Milhamah,
right?
Shalom, no?
Huh? Not exactly. So Mashiach ben Yosef, Ari explained, the Gemara says you must have Mashiach ben Yosef before Mashiach ben Yosef. Ari says Mashiach ben Yosef's job is like Yosef's job. Yosef, it's called Yosef HaTzadik, that he has to purify the whole world to prepare them for Mashiach. It means you should be on a certain age when Mashiach will come. You cannot be yourself. You have to be on a very high level of purity. And this is really the fight, Ari says, that was between Yudah and Yosef. That Yosef said, I'm the king, and the brother said, no, you cannot be the king. Yudah is the king. And says the root of the argument is who is really responsible for bringing the world into the hands of Mashiach. Is it Yosef or Yehuda? Again, Yosef's job is to make everybody a better person, and Yehuda is just called Malchut, kingdom. It means like scare them. And says you have to know there's a thing that's called Malchut, Sirat Malchut, that you have to be afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the whole world. But Mashiach ben Yosef, the Gemara says, has to come before that. And before you have what we call Malchut, you have to have it called Yesod, it means called the foundation. The foundation is purity. And it's really that he says that the first king was Shaul. That Shaul comes from Binyamin. That Binyamin is like Yosef. You remember that all the children that the Binyamin had are after Yosef. And this is the children of Rachel that was very much described as a tznua, that's a very pure chelimenu, and Yosef and Binyamin, they take after her. I'm sorry?
Shimi is also.
Shimi also. So Shimi is Shaul's grandson. Shimi is Shaul's grandson. Right. So over here there is a fight. A real fight between Yosef and David, that's the whole secret. And when David HaMelech is running away from Absalom, Shimi is standing on the mountain and screams at him, you impure person. It says like this, Klala Nimretet. Nimretet, the Gemara says, is abbreviation. No, is no F. You can control yourself. You likewise. Mem is Moabiata. Reish, Rotzeachata. Sadik, Tzorerata. Kaf. I don't remember what this stuff is. The Gemara Masechet Shabbat, I think, says. It says that Shimi is fighting with him, not is fighting with him, he cares about him. He says, you cannot be the leader. Who should be the leader? Me! Because I'm a grandson of Shaul. Now you, Shaul was chasing you, the bottom line is that Shaul was the first king because Shaul comes from Rachel Imenu, it's called Mashiach ben Yosef. By the way, Ariel says, Moshe Abenu was Mashiach ben Yosef. By the way, Ariel says, Mordechai was Mashiach ben Yosef. I said, before you have redemption, Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef. Yeah. Means he comes, that's what the Torah says, that he takes the body of Yosef with him. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu is being described, Nolad Mahul, he's very pure, he doesn't want to be his wife. All these things only to show you that he's very, very pure, Moshe Rabbeinu. It's called the sign of Mashiach ben Yosef. Yes, but he's Nishmat Yosef, right? You're right. But that is says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mashiach ben Yosef. But the first Mashiach was Moshe Rabbeinu, but Mashiach ben Yosef, says the first thing that he had is also, it's called Shaul, that he comes from Yosef, it means he comes from Binyamin, but it means he, what to show you is, that first you have to do the job right, and then you'll be able to get into Yerushalayim, and therefore Shaul doesn't go to Yerushalayim, he lives in Givat Shaul, he doesn't live in Yerushalayim. David is going to live in Yerushalayim, but Shaul no. Shaul doesn't live in Yerushalayim, it's a place called Givat Shaul, it's next to Yerushalayim, it's outside Yerushalayim, because it's called Mashiach ben Yosef. I don't know. But it's not far from there. It's in the around there. Because Binyamin used to live there. The Givat Shaul is, I don't know if this place is. And Shimi, when David HaMelech is running away from Absalom, so Shimi is on the other side of the mountain, he curses him. And he tells him, you're not pure, you don't know what you're doing. He says, you Moabiata, he says, you come from Moab. He says, Moab is very not pure people. If you remember the story in Parshat Pinchas, if you remember the story about the Bnot Lot, He says, the whole system, your genes are ruined. He says, you cannot be the king. Good for you. Good for you that you've been chased. By the way, if you remember, this Avshalom that David found is going to do very impure things while the Derech is going to be away. He's also is a murderer. He says, look at your child, as bad as you. He says, who should be the real king? Me. Who am I? He says, I am Shimi. I come from Rachel. I'm the grandson of Shaul HaMelech. Grandson of Shaul HaMelech, I deserve to be the king, not you. Look, you don't behave. And that story did happen after David HaMelech had the thing with Bathsheba, and he had all kinds of other accidents. He says, that's why Shimi is against him. But it's not personally. Nevertheless, of course, we all do know that Hashem who told Shmuel HaNavi to go and tell David HaMelech that he's going to be the new king. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided Shaul is no good and David is going to try to be a king, to try to be Mashiach maybe. But the idea is that the fight over here is not just two enemies, David and Shimi, it's the fight like Yosef and Yehudah, and this is between called Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. And this is really the secret that David HaMelech appointed Shimi as the rabbi of Shlomo HaMelech. What it means is Shlomo comes from Yehudah and he's supposed to be the new king's call. He's supposed to be the Mashiach really. And in front of him is going to be Shimi, that he's Mashiach ben Yosef. And he, together they're going to work it out. But David HaMelech calls up Shlomo before he does and says, listen, this guy is bad news, that guy Shimi. I just don't trust this guy. The guy is not for real. He's not for real. He joined Avshalom against me, and then he joined Shimon ben Bichri against me. He's not for real. He's not for real. Shlomo HaMelech calls up Shimi and says, listen, Shimi, I want to tell you something. You got to stay in Yerushalayim. If you remember, I told you the Yerushalayim is according, most of the Chachamim is being divided between Yehuda and Binyamin. The Mizbeach itself, the altar itself, when the Mizbeach was standing in Beit HaMikdash, was partially in the territory of Binyamin, partially in the territory of Yehuda. So Yerushalayim really is not just a place for the kingdom of David HaMelech, it's also for Shaul as well. And you, Mr. Shimi, let's see if you can be in Yerushalayim. Stay in Yerushalayim, don't leave Yerushalayim. We'll see really what it means. What it means really is that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose David HaMelech to be the king, it means you cannot act anymore than anything. You don't do anything, you have to listen to me. It's been Yerushalayim. Again, Yerushalayim is also Binyamin, you have to stay here. He's going to tell us a story. The Gemara says, for example, the Gemara says, and this is coming to Pesach, the Gemara says that somebody has slaves, and the slaves did not have Brit Milah, that he cannot participate in the sacrifice of Pesach. But it's the Brit Milah to your slaves. Even if there's non-Jewish slaves, it says, I don't care, you know, it's my maid. Okay, you have a maid, you have to take the maid, and you have to put the maid in the mikveh. Shifcha. You have a slave, you have to put him in the mikveh, and you have to put him in the mikveh. It's a goy. And if you don't do it to him, you cannot have Korban Pesach. You can. If you're a very nice Jew, you're a nice rabbi, means nothing. You have a maid in the house, the maid must go to mikveh, she must accept the mitzvot, and then you can have, for you, Korban, forget about them, they're not having Korban Pesach. You cannot have.
Goy?
Goy. They have to convert him. You convert him against his will. Now a goy like this, you make with Milan on him, let's say you purchase a goy, 1 day old. You do with Milan on him, 1 day old. A Jew has to wait 8 days. If you purchase a slave, 1 day old, you do with Milan on him.
That's one of that first of all.
Yeah.
The minute
you buy him. A real with Milan. That's a bracha.
You don't have to wait for Shabbat.
You don't have to. I can one day, not even 8 days.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Why do you have to wait till after Shabbat?
But the Zohar said that the Jew has to wait his Shabbat should pass first to give some energy to the baby.
Okay.
But a Goy also wait 8 days, but not the same.
The Muslim wait 13 years.
The Arab.
The
Muslim.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Have kids in my class.
Yeah.
13 years old, that would
be... Now it's
so many years ago. Today they don't, I think. Right. They do it right away in the hospital.
Yeah,
it's a
good...
I'm talking about
Arabs.
What was
that? You're not supposed to be...
That's
the halacha.
Even though I was
50
years ago.
That is the halacha. The halacha is...
More fanatic now. The ethics for you. That's because Ishmael was 13 years old. They did it.
So the halacha is, that's the halacha. The halacha is that the essence, if you have a slave, it's not so simple. Now, if you can't even free him, you can't free him. That's halacha. Behind this halacha, that since you own a slave, since you own him, it means he's part of you. Since he's a part of you, if you release him, then he's going to go back to his bad habit. So there's a scene. It's Aseh Lola Mem Ta'avod. You may not free your slave. It's Avira. It's Aseh. You're very Aseh. Right. So you can, no, wait. So you cannot free them. On the other hand, this is your slaves. Now, if your slaves means part of you are going to do a sin, it means that, I won't say the word you're responsible for it, but it means part of you. It's like they can affect you if they don't have Brit Milah, that you cannot have the Korban Pesach. You see that they have some kind of influence, or they can have some impact on you. So Shlomo HaMelech says something like this. Shlomo HaMelech calls up Shimi and says, listen, you don't go out of Yerushalayim. He says, what does it mean out of Yerushalayim? He says, you got to stay in Yerushalayim here. I says, now you are underneath me, and Yerushalayim is also a place for Binyamin. You stay up here, you can go. I'm the king. He says, what does it mean, I'm the king? It means Yehuda is the king, not Yosef, not Binyamin. That's what it means. He says, Dari, see, Shimi won't be able to take it. He says, Shimi might have to do something what Meshach and Yosef has to do. What does he have to do? He says he's going to find something to do. He says what? He says two slaves running away to Gat, to Achish. Gat Achish, this is the Pishtim, they are known, very impure people. He says the Shimi heard the two people ran. So he himself, he is going to emphasize, he himself prepared his donkey. He is running over there. He's running to being a slave. He says, what do you know about slaves? He says, that's my job. I cannot let my slaves stay over there in Gath, in the Plishtim. He's going to get them back. Shlomo here, her lady calls Shimi and says, where do you go? Shimi doesn't answer. There's no answer for that. Because this is the fight between Shimi and Shlomo. That Shimi thinks this is Mashiach on Yosef, Shlomo is Mashiach on David, and he doesn't agree with him. He says, Dari, that's the step. That's really what's behind the Gemara. It says, when he's going to kill Shimi, it says, you know what this king is doing? It says, he killed Mashiach ben Yosef. And Mashiach ben Yosef is responsible for the purity. It says, immediately Shlomo is going to do the best, the biggest thing in the world. He's going to get married into somebody in Egypt. So the Gemara says, as long as his rabbi was alive, says Ari, his rabbi is not just because he's a rabbi. But people have a rabbi, don't listen to the rabbi. He says, over here, the rabbi that was appointed by David HaMelech to be the rabbi of Shlomo, because Shimi was really Mashiach ben Yosef, to teach Shlomo up here to be, in order to be Mashiach ben David. That Mashiach ben David comes only after he reaches the stage of purity that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to bring the world to. The minute that Shlomo is going to kill Shimi, he's going to do the most impure act. He's going to marry a shikta. Says, not maybe, yes conversion, no conversion, but first Egyptian should marry her. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to him, I'm fed up with the whole system, and says, this city is not the city for me, I don't want this city from the first moment. It means not first thing in the Ashram, second thing in the Ashram, it means the whole thing was ruined, because he killed so-called the impurity that he was supposed to get when Shimi is on. So this is what the two stories are connected. It's not just a story that he's going to get rid of Shimi. So he's very smart. It says, but that act is going to result that Shlomo is going to lose his kingdom, is going to lose the whole concept of Mashiach ben David, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy Yerushalayim because of that. So that's what Navi is telling us, that really David HaMelech told Shlomo HaMelech, but this is in all the respect, the act what he did, that act that he killed Shimei was very bad news. Of course, David HaMelech told him do this, but again, maybe it wasn't the time yet, maybe he should not have done it that day, maybe he should wait before he should get married to that person first. But he got married to the first wife in such a bad situation, says Dari, that the whole thing is ruined. So of course the kingdom, yes, is up, but in 1 minute he thinks the whole kingdom is down. It means when he killed Shimei at that moment, everything is okay, but it means the Mashiach ben David is here. It says Mashiach ben David, perfect. It says, wait, the next chapter, it says, if you can control yourself. So this is what Yerovam was upset at him. That Yerovam is called Yerovam ben Nevat, is Mashiach, and so he says he is the next Mashiach ben Yosef, that he is the grandson of Ephraim, the son of Yosef, he's going to go in front of Shlomo, and Shlomo is marrying this girl, he's going to in front of Shlomo, he's going to untie his feeling from Shlomo. And he says, who is this guy? He says, this guy is Yerovam ben Nevat. He says, he's the grandson of Yosef also. And he says, something very parallel, similar to this guy Shimei, that he's against Shlomo. He's against Shlomo, he's against David, he's against them, because he says, you don't act. That's why he cursed David HaMelech. The message of Shlomo, listen, the guy is not 100%. Get rid of him in a nice way, because he embarrassed me. But the act what he did is because he comes from Shaul HaMelech, that Shaul the Gemara says was very, very pure. Very, very tanur, the Gemara says. Very holy was Shaul HaMelech. And therefore, Shimei is taking after him, and he's against David HaMelech. And Shlomo wants to put him down. And says, he's going to kill him, he's going to do a bad act. And this comes immediately Yerovam in front of him, right there at the wedding. He comes over to him, and after the wedding, immediately he comes untied sitting in front of him, just to show him that he's not doing the right thing by marrying that chick there. And that's people who loves it. People said, you're right. Therefore, the Gemara says, Yerovam, he did bad things. One day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came over to him and held him in his jacket, and he told him, do teshuvah. And you and me, and David HaMelech will take a walk in Gan Eden. And he said, he doesn't want. He says, why? He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is first, David HaMelech or me? So the Chachamim said, the man is an idiot. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to you, he says, come, do Teshuvah, I take you to Gan Eden. You, me, and David.
Which Moshiach?
So he asked.
He was the first.
Which Moshiach?
You, me, and
David. Right, he was the first. But
he said,
was the first. So Chachamim said a joke, he wants to hear it again. What's the idea? The idea is what Arif said as it is. He says, your mom wanted to know who is leading. If David is leading, it's a bankruptcy. If he is leading, you might have a chance. He says, with all the respect, I was very pure. My name is Yerovam ben Nevat. I'm a grandson of Yosef HaTzadik. There's a chance. With David HaMelech, there's no chance. He says, that's what Shimei told David HaMelech. There's no chance with you. He says, look at what's coming out from you is Shlomo, a disaster. So when Hashem tells Yerovam, come to Gan Eden, and I'm going to walk with you and David, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is first? He says, David. He says, David is first? No. I'm Yosef. I'm against him. He says, look, it's a bankruptcy with him. It's a bankruptcy. He says, that's why. He said, Hashem, I don't want to be in Gan Eden if I am second. Because I have to be Mashiach and Yosef. Mashiach and Yosef has to come before Mashiach and David. That's a disaster. That the Mashiach and Yosef was killed over the Soshimi. The Shlomo HaMelech went off the right, off the path, and he's doing the wrong thing. And the whole Beit HaMikdash is going to be down because of this impurity of Shlomo.
What will happen is now, if Shlomo is upset on the first temple, on the second temple, if he did that,